blessed opportunity to gather together. But I thank you that you have chosen us. It is you who called us. It is you who has given birth to us. It is you who have put your spirit within us. It is you who have brought us to the form and the dimension that is capable of standing in your presence, lifting up holy hands. It is you who has purged us and continue to purge us. It is you who has performed the greatest miracle in our life, making us sons and daughters. And now we are able to access your very presence and have communion, have sweet fellowship, and we are accepted, for you've brought us to yourself, a people called the righteous, the holy one, the ones upon whom no one can lay blame. And it's all because of the obedience and the faithfulness of our Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, Father. And now, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Minister your cleansing word to us and set us up for the great things that you have in store for each and every one of us. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great moment. Let me just take this out of my... Awesome. Awesome. Make sure always make sure the device you're using is at its highest. Just drowning every other voice, every other distraction that the enemy will try to use to distract you, to prevent you from exposing yourself to the cleansing power that is in his word that is coming to you, set and prepared for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. So today we are going to the message again. The main topic is attempt great things for God. Today we're talking about attempt preaching and teaching. Everybody say attempt preaching and teaching.
Attempt preaching
and teaching.
Say it again. Attempt preaching and teaching. Beautiful, beautiful. Now let's enter into the scriptures. You are about to be blessed beyond measure. I'm telling you. Let's do the scripture. James chapter 3. Let's give me the King James version. James 3 from verse 4 to 5. And then we will read it again, but we will expand it a little bit and see what the spirit of our King is communicating to us. Please, James chapter 3 from verse 4 to 5. It says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or the pilot or the one at the helm wishes. Notice though, the ships, they are so great. It requires fierce winds to drive them. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm, a very, very small helm. And you will think the helm is so significant, but how can this small helm be able to turn the entire ship around? And it is primarily based on the decision of the governor or the pilot or the one who is at the helm of the entire ship, the captain. Are you with me?
Yes.
Next verse. Even so, the tongue is a little member. I would say that my tongue is a little member.
My tongue is a little member.
Yeah. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasteth. It boasts great things. It exercises great power. Your tongue, that little thing in your mouth, it exercises great power, great dominion. And then it says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now we're going to read, we're going to expand it, you know, take it from verse 1 and come down. But I want you to notice something, that this tongue, which is what is used to preach and to teach, the tongue can be used to bring about terrible, terrible effects on generations after generations after generations. Just a seed sown is enough to subject an entire city, an entire village, an entire nation to perpetual damnation. And it's all because of this little member of ours called the tongue. Are you with me?
Yes.
Likewise, when this same tongue is also subjected or brought under the influence of that which is life, my God, the life that it will propagate, the life that it will release, it will also turn a whole nation to their God and to their Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the greatness is in the tongue. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Now, you want to read a scripture again, but take it from verse 1. From verse 2. Yeah, it says, for in many things we offend all. In many things, not you will offend. No, you offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now, he's saying that in many ways, in many, many utterances, we offend, and it's all of us. It's not that we could possibly or potentially. No, we do it. We offend. We pit one against another. We destroy a whole family. One family will take an opinion, a decision that will be, it will turn them against God. It's all because of what one person said. All because of what one person said. It says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Meaning that if the tongue is properly held in place, the entire body is held in place and properly and well managed. And this is the sign of maturity, a perfect man. Wow. Maybe we can read it. You know, I think we should read it in the Passion, just so that you can get, you know, the little things that are in there. Let's read it in the Passion. It says, we all fall in many areas. We all fall in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet, if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. There is nothing, and there's no situation that you cannot handle excellently by just your tongue that is able to be controlled. It says, yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and it is fully developed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at the next verse. Let's continue on the Passion a little bit. It says, horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. Think about a horse that has been groomed. Its muscles, my goodness, when it flexes, this is power. When it begins to gallop, It cannot be restrained. And the only thing that is required to be able to direct it or to stop it, go left, go right. You cannot use any force. You can't. You can't. No. All you need is the bit that you have put inside his tongue. That when you turn it, it knows that I'm going left. When you turn it, it knows I'm going right. When you put it in a certain way, it knows that I'm stopping. And this is not by any might of yours. It is just the bit that you have put in the horse. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's given a great analogy. This is the Spirit of God communicating to us the truth about all things. So this large body of the horse is easily controlled just by this tiny thing that is put in his tongue. Let's go on. Then it says, and the same with mighty ships, though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. Wow. So if the person at the helm decides, hey, we are going, we are turning back, he is not going to now pray or believe God for any strong wind to come. No. He's not going to see, is it possible? Can we turn back? No. He doesn't need to know anything. Doesn't need to know the wind. Is it powerful enough to do this? No. All he needs is to deal with the rudder of the ship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So go on. Then it says, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. A forest which has taken years, maybe 25, 30 years, 40 years, for the trees to become so huge, so huge, tall. All is required is a flame, and just one flame, it can raise the forest down to ashes in just a day. Something that has taken 45 years to become what it is. A flame has brought it to nothing in just a day. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Let's go on. That is how much damage the tongue. It says that, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness. It can be compared to the sum total of the degree of wickedness. You can see when a person is coming and we see that he's wicked, that wickedness can be fully displayed by just his tongue. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. It has the ability to release a damage, a fire. It can burn not in your generation, next generation, the next generation, the next generation. And my goodness, and all because words came out of the mouth of this one person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Think of slavery. Think of the racial issues that have been burning from all these times. Look at the damage. Look at the damage that a child is born. As he's growing up, his mind or her mind is that I am a low class citizen. Only because of my color. When the one who made this child said that I delight in varieties, so much so that there is no snowflake, which is even there are not two snowflakes that are the same. No two snowflakes. Like, can you imagine the snow that has fallen around, and you cannot find two flakes? You bring them under the microscope to study, and for the heck, I cannot find just two, which are exactly the same. And this is intentionally made by a God, the God of varieties. And he said that I'm making a people. Some people's eyes, when you look at them, it's slanting down. Others are slanting up. Others are as round and as big. Others, hey, shape and form, different. Even the same race, you will find differences. So much so that even we can use the configuration in your palms as a distinct distinctive characteristic of you and nobody like you. That when you put your thumb down and we see the outline, we say, ah, it's this person or it's not him, only because of your thumb. My goodness, what kind of God is this? I don't know what can bring such a thing. I don't know what is able to millions, billions of people, and there's nobody who has the same thumbprint. The markings on the thumb is not the same as one other person, at least. Mm-hmm. Even if it's thousand of millions of miles away, there's one person. No, there's none. There's none.
Wow.
There's none. I mean, there's a small tumble. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you make it so different that it's so distinct? It's so distinctive. I don't know how you can do it. But this God, he says, that's me. That's me. That's how I am. Do you know me? Do you know me? You know, Job tried to figure some things out. My goodness, he showed him some things. He said, the whale, the body of the whale. What, do you have any idea? This, I mean, by the time he was done, he said the guy was silent. I can't talk. God is beyond what any human being can fathom. And all these things were done by Jesus, by the way, just so you know, they were done by Jesus. Mm. When you read that book, you'll find out. Everything was done by Jesus. The angels said that when they look at him when they look at what some of the things that he has done, is it the wonder? Is it a mistake or what? They can't figure out why. And then when he came to the fishes, the angel said he broke his own law. So, because everything that enters into a water body must go down. But when it came to the fishes, he said, no, they must stay on top. He said he broke his own law.
Wow.
And he said, if you go to the depth, the degree of coldness, the coldness that is there, the fishes that dwell there, I mean, that are able to enter there. He said that no human being can get there. If you would need the kind of equipment that takes you to space to get to that bottom part.
Mm.
That angel was describing, he said that a lot of the things that he does, they can't see its significance. But when he made the earth, they were shocked about its beauty. He said they were shocked. Oh, my goodness, the colors, the skies. Anyway, that's it, by the way. It says, I don't know how I got there, but let's read it. Let's read it down. Let's go down a little bit. It says, for every wild animal, now pay attention, every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by human beings. Every wild animal has been tamed. I mean, you go to the circus and you see the lions that have been tamed and being told to make certain loops and movements. A man is doing this. One day, one of the lions went off. It wasn't easy for the handler. It wasn't easy for the handler. I don't know. I forgot what happened to him.
One of the tigers, yeah.
I tell you. One of the tigers went off. It wasn't simple for him. But at least we have been able to tame them, bring them to a place, a confinement. Something that's supposed to be in the wild. Man is able to tame all of these wild. Every animal, says every wild animal has been tamed by human beings, has been overpowered by human being and tamed by human being. Next verse. Now, notice this statement, because we don't think about the word of God much. We don't think about the word of God much. Please pay attention. It says that, but the tongue is not able to be tamed. You know, we think that we can tell somebody, don't say this again. Don't say that again. And it's enough. Why a joke? You are a joke. Why? No, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And it's saying that the tongue, nobody, no human being. So you can tame a lion, yes. You can tame a shark, whatever, because you can bring the shark into you can take it to all places and all that. But the tongue, a human being's tongue, the human being who owns the tongue cannot tame his tongue. This is so God will never tell you to tame your tongue. Holy Spirit will never tell you to tame your tongue. Understand this, please. So he said, then how can it be controlled? It depends. Remember, it says the ship that is so huge, the captain, all he does, it is what he has purposed that the rudder will determine it. So what he purposes, the rudder brings it forth. The bit in the horse, what the rider purposes is what displays the outcome. Does that make sense? So the tongue is not a problem. The problem is where the life is coming from. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What is coming? Whatever is coming, the tongue will display the power of that thing. So if the source, if the control is emanating from that which is called life, the tongue will display the power that is in that life. Likewise, if what is coming is from the darkness, the one who is called the rebellious one, the evil, the devil, if he brings an influence upon you and makes you communicate, the power that is in his influence also come, and it will wreak a great degree of havoc, which will not be for only just your life or your generation. No. It transcends your generation and goes on further. See, that is why it's not even everything that you have experienced that you should tell your child. You say, why? Because the child may have to hear what you are saying only at the time when he or she is stable, has the ability to properly discern what he hears or she hears. Otherwise, you set him up for destruction, because he's going to form a wisdom that is based on what you suffered, and that wisdom will guide her or guide him to take a path that is so, it will take him off the path of life. But he doesn't know it. And she wouldn't know it. And she wouldn't know why nobody wants to marry her. Why nobody wants to marry him. She wouldn't understand it. You don't understand why certain things are going. It's because a seed was sown. It gave her or him a wisdom. It has taken him into a path. And the enemy who does that. Because everything that you and I suffer or experiences is a seed. Anyway, it's ma. Listen. Let's pay attention, because you're going to read some stuff. I need to pay attention, pa, because it's too wild. Go on. Let's read a few more scriptures, then we move on. Wow. Look at it. It says, we use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. I want you to see something, and then we will skip from here. Go on, next verse. You see, so we said that we use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and we use the same tongue to curse a people made in his image. Then it says, out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sister, this should never be. Now, I need you to understand something. The problem that we have is not that we there's only evil that is in us. No. There is no human being on earth that you will come across who is only full of evil. No, it's impossible. Every human being has both the good and the evil. There is no human being who's exempt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That is why you will find out that the man, I remember I came across, I was reading something about this man who will sleep with women and kill them. And then I noticed that he once was married. I said, hey, how was he able to get a woman to see some goodness in him to cause that woman to say, I do? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a child, what do you call a pedophile?
Pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll find out that they have been in a relationship before. I'm like, aha, because I had to question those things. I mean, That's how I don't know. But you must. That is why when they came across, when Adolf Hitler died, and some of the people came across videos of him just having fun with children. They say such a video should never be made public. Do you know the reason why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it portrays him as a human being. It portrays him as a human being with affections.
Normal human being, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They said, no. We must let everybody see that he was only evil. Yeah. You are a joke.
Yes.
You are a joke. This is why the enemy is able to choose, because the good part is more deceptive and destructive than evil, our evil part. That is why Eve was captivated. Because it was the good part. It is good. It is good to make one wife. It is good for food. It is pleasing. It is that part. It always destroys. So, for example, a man can buy a car for a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old who's in college. And now the girl is so overcome and overwhelmed by this show. Please give my people. The girl is so overcome by such show, as it were, of love. It's like, wow, such a brand new car. I mean, tear rubber car. The car, when he brought it, then he told me to remove the rubber and everything from it. So the girl is so overcome because she came from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And she has seen poverty at its best. And she has struggled. Her mother has sold all her things to send her to school. And here she lands, and this guy has bought her this car. She thinks it's love. The guy sleeps the girl. The girl commits 15 abortions because
yes.
The sleeping causes pregnancy. Then she's in school. How can you take this home and say that you're pregnant? You go and tell your mother that you're pregnant. I mean, that will be the end of your life. I mean, what they did, because it has cost your mother everything to take you to the place. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you come and you say you are pregnant. Oh my goodness. So what happens? You are bought. The guy will come and do it again. You are bought. Guy come again. And so by the time you are ready for the thing, you find out that the abortion has destroyed everything inside. It's impossible. It's impossible. But how did he come? He came as good, only to visit evil. So when you are ready for marriage, you find out that you can't have any child. It's only God's mercy, so. And somebody will say, oh, I never was involved in that. Listen, you were just protected. But if that landed on your plate, you would have gone for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every parent needs to protect his or her child. Why? That is why even in the land, a developed land like America, they will tell you that if you sleep with this age group, no matter what, you will be held accountable. Why? Because the child is not old enough to make sound decisions and judge properly from the repercussions. And so you must face the consequences of the law. Yeah. I mean, of course, you can go scot-free in an undeveloped world, but in the developed world, you will see where power lies. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So what am I saying? Go back to the scripture. I'll show you something, and then there's a lot I want to share with you. Go back to the scripture. Where were we? It says
8.
Yeah. So now go to, it says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. Go to verse 9. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It says, okay, now go to verse 10, quickly. Then it says, out of the same mouth we pour out, this is verse 11. Because I want you to see this scripture, that then we move forward. It says, would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? You see, it's not possible that you are going to, you see a tree, and from the tree you get fig, from the same tree you get grape. It's impossible, but only in man that you can find two different streams, and one is the exact opposite of the other. It's only in man, and that is the sentence that came upon all humanity. So it says that, so neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. Go to verse, where are we? Verse 11, right? Go to verse 12, let me see. I think what I'm looking for is probably verse 14. Ah. Don't. Uh-huh. Let's read verse 13 first, and then we'll read verse 14 now, and then we'll move on. It says, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you will prove what you... Okay, verse 14. Verse 14. This is the thing. We might also read in the King James. It says, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding where?
Your heart.
Hiding in your heart. Hiding in your heart. It says, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it. Because out of the heart, you see, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the issue is, oh, I'm going to tame my tongue. No. It is what is in your heart that will come forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not an attempt to control your tongue. It's not. Don't try it. Just try and get what is coming from inside to be that which is from the Lord himself and his life that is there. But the moment you refuse that life, you have only one option. You enter into the other life, which is from your flesh. And you can't help spewing forth the thing that destroys, not only, oh my goodness. It says, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being funny. Go to the King James, give me the King James, and then we will proceed. So you cannot tame the tongue. You can't. That, are we all settled on that truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that King James? Yes. It says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, the reason why I made us read a little bit further than even what the scripture, I mean, we were supposed to read, is because I needed to see that it is the stream from which the influence is coming. You need to get this, because once you get it, then you would need to allow yourself to come under that which is of God, so that which is of God will naturally and effortlessly flow from your mouth. So let's read a scripture. Go to Galatians 5. We're going to read some scriptures, then you will close very soon. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Look at from verse 13. From verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. Give it to me in the Passion. I want us to read it. Pay utmost attention so that we can see anybody and make an accurate judgment as to, oh, where is the life coming from? Is it coming from his spirit? Is it coming from his soul? And once you understand it, you will see that you will endeavor to get into the word for the word to do its job of purging you of all the crap, because everybody has it. I have it, you have it. It takes forever for you to completely be rid of it. You know, it's like, imagine, you see, look at somebody like Nase at his age, right? Inside Nase is the ability and the power to have a child. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, inside him is the ability to have a child, ability to oversee another human being brought forth. It's all inside there. But do you think you would want him to enter in such a position right now?
Forgive.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to do that. Why? You need him to come to the place where he understands what life is about.
Yep.
So the father and the mother will have to make sure. Will have to make sure that he has gotten there. And so they will subject him to life. They will not hide him. Oh, no. They will subject him to being on his own in the boarding school, something like that. He will have to come under an authority. He will see how people behave, how they are, how they can be so so mean and so evil. Why? What are you doing? You are letting him come into the proper understanding of what life really is. Because if you shield him forever, you will find that he will not live in that shielded cocoon forever. So at a point, my mother had to leave me on campus because my father was not there. She cried. She was afraid because she brought me to the school. She heard the shout of the bigger. We have a very small boy. It's like, he has arrived. It's like, who has arrived? And it was me. How can my mother go? She was afraid. It's like, what are they going to do to my mother? But he just understood that this is how my bigger brother I had to go through. This is how everyone, because I was the last boy. It's my turn. I have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But she also knew that I was so ill-prepared because I mean, last boy, you know, you don't tend to be. And so little too, so young as in age. So young. Probably I was 11. Yeah. 11. Anyway, she was afraid, but she realized that that's the only way I could mature. So the preparing and everything had to take place for me to come to the place that, oh, this is how life is. So now, when I make a decision, it's born out of what I've been subjected to. Anyway, but it brings maturity. So let's read the scripture. It says, beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Don't think that it is the time now that I'm saved, now that God has saved me, that I am born again, that I am righteous, now that I am holy, God is going to now bless me and all my enemies, as in the people who didn't have any respect for you, they will see who I really am. And this is how we all thought. I mean, we all, you know, thought that now, because in my country where I come from, you will read the sun. I said, God bless me so that my enemies will see. And the enemies, the person is referring to is other people, his neighbor. Or his auntie who didn't take care of him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not like that. This is not God at all. This is not God at all. Because the price he paid for one is the same price he paid for that. Why? Because he has a plan for everybody. Anyway, so he says that don't take this blessedness of being made a child of God, carrying the name of the Father, the blood of Jesus Christ now speaks for you. Holy Spirit has come to live inside you. Now, when you are coming, the angels are aware. Devils and demons take knowledge that he or she is marked. He said, don't take this freedom, this wonderful freedom, as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence or the lust of the flesh. That's what it means in King James. We become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
We become servants of who?
One another.
Not your pastor, not your wife, not your mother, but every other human being. You get it?
Yes.
We become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. So the basis for everything we do now is love. Why? Because you who are loved, now you love the one who is loved. Next verse, go on. You will see in a moment. You'll see why we are reading all the scriptures. For love completes the law of God. Love, it completes the law of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. Demonstrate it. Because love completes the laws of God. Next verse. You're going to see something beautiful, I'm telling you. It says, but if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you are acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Next verse, verse 16. This is where we are going. Look at it. As you yield freely, listen now. As you yield freely and fully, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and the power of the Holy Spirit You will abandon the cravings of your flesh. You will abandon the cravings. So instead of trying to abandon the cravings of the flesh, just yield to the life of the spirit which is now inside you. He is so powerful that he doesn't need your help. All he needs is that you are yielding freely and fully to that life. You will now abandon. So you don't have to try. I'm gonna try to stop lusting. I'm gonna try to stop this. You don't. You are gone. It's like you enter into a room. Instead of turn the light on so that you can get to the other side, you don't, the light is off. So you keep hitting your shin against the things in the way, and you are cursing everybody. Look at how disheveled and how careless and how they are useless. All these boys and girls. I don't know what God has given me. You are cursing everybody. You are just complaining and murmuring only because the light is not on. But if you turn the light on, you will just easily navigate it. Go get to the point. Get what you want. Come back. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But we focus on, oh, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't listen. You can't. You can't, because again, you are born again. The Spirit of God has come to live inside you. The problem that you still have a flesh or a body, a mind, emotions, that has so many seeds. Everything you have suffered, every wrong that you have done, they have all sown seeds. Anything that anybody has done or said against you or to you or whatever, they have sown seeds, and it's in your flesh. It's not gonna go like this now. No. So you're either gonna live from this life or you're gonna live from that. Now, see, why am I sharing this with you? Because we are going to the place of being able to teach and preach, and you see it in just a moment. So it says, naturally, then you will abandon. So you don't. It's not. I'm trying. Stop it. Just begin to just become aware, and yield to His presence. He's here. Who said he's here? Jesus said he's here. Jesus said, if I receive him, I'm made a child of God. And the Spirit of God has come to dwell inside me. So he's here. Now I must respect his presence. Now I must yield to what he wants to do. I'm not going to try and do what I want to do. No, he's here. So I must acknowledge it. Oh, I want to say this, but he's here. I can't offend him. Now, it's as simple as that. You are yielding freely and fully. Next verse. That's verse 17. For your self-life, which is the flesh, it craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit. And that's what hinder him from living free within you. So do you see what is hindering him?
Mm-hmm.
He's there, but he doesn't have the liberty and the freedom to exercise or bring his power to bear on any situation. Why? Because your self-life does not allow him. Then it says that, and the Holy Spirit's intense cravings also hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. They are so diametrically opposed. This one chooses the way of God, the Father, and the perfect work that has been wrought by Jesus Christ. This one is you, as in who you were, what you have seen before, what you have suffered before, all your limitations, what you have lacked before. Do you have any idea what it means when a man, if you go and take a young lady from, let's say, the ghettos, let's say from Detroit, you know, who let's say grew up as one of 10 children. She grew up as one of 10 children. Are you with me?
Yes.
Or let me just use a normal boy. A boy, you go and pick up a boy, the boy is 11 years old, but he is one of 9 children. And grew up in a place where it is called survival of the fittest. Now you bring him into your palace. And in your palace, you have only one child. And so you come and say that, I love this boy. I'm going to add him to my one child. You'll find that when you bring this boy into this new place where everything is provided, there is an abundance of everything. You will find that if you would go to this boy's room, you will find out that he is hiding some things. And you say, why? Do you know why he will hold things? Because he's only used to how you have to strive and get anything and fight for everything. He doesn't know when it will end. And so he has to make sure that there is a spare. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He doesn't know when it will end. He doesn't know. If this man would change his mind and say, I'm taking you back, at least I must have something small. and you think that it's because it's evil. No, that's all he knows. Mm-hmm. Likewise, that's all we also know. We know the frustration, the limitations, the dishonor, the disrespect. Everybody knows it. Even America, you were born American, no problem. You go to a school, you will be made known. It will be made known to you that there are differences. There are social classes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when God brings you into his realm, you will find out that even when you are looking for something good, you want it to bring benefit to you, not to what God has planned or purpose. This is our problem. So now a work is going to be done, and only God can do it. And I'm going to show to you why. Because he's going to set you up so that you will minister. What? That life, his life inside you. That's why I'm taking you through all these. Because it's the only way. There's no other way. There is no other way. And everybody needs to go through the same process. No exempt and no exemption. Go back to the scriptures that I was reading with you, please. And it's the same for when you would marry a woman who has struggled, has slept with men, several men, to make it just through life. And when you marry her, you will find out that it's so difficult for her to trust you. Why? It's so difficult for her to trust you. Because for her, every man, it's just want to use her. And so in there, she will also do the same until after years, she finds out that, this man is not like Jack Toronto. It's not like, what are the names? Please give me that. it's not like Jack Smith. What's the guy's Sly's name? I'm going to Sly's full name anyway. It's not like this, until she comes to that place that, wow. Now she begins to let herself go, but it's taking the process of washing, of cleansing, of purging all her thoughts. Every one of her fears have to be dealt with. It's not because she was born like that, but that's all she has grown up knowing, that you need to fight and protect. That's why a man, you know, like in my country, there was a saying that you have to hide certain things from your wife. Otherwise, all these foolish talks. And so if a man is doing something and doesn't even tell the wife that there's a property here that I'm building, the wife discovers sometimes a death. Which is so silly, only because the man was told by either somebody else that this is how life is. I remember one woman was struggling to find the pin to access the husband's bank account. Who was that? COVID took him away, but he couldn't access anything because the man hid everything from her. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from? Cease. Yes, so. One woman that I know in Ghana, same thing. If it wasn't the Holy Spirit who revealed it to her child, everything, every property of theirs would have been a waste. The Holy Spirit just helped the woman. The Holy Spirit revealed it to the child. That this, that daddy, this, here. They went, pa, it was there. But after living all these years, the woman didn't know. I'm not telling you things. I'm telling you how we are so messed up, and that God has a plan and a purpose and a mission for every one of us. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your status in life. Yeah. Yeah. Go down. We'll read this quickly, and then we will come to the thing. Bear with me, okay? Are you enjoying the word of God?
Yes.
But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but you will soar above it. Why? Why? Because you're not going to try. God is not going to put any demand on you that you must do this, that you must do that, that you must do that. No. Anytime a demand is put on you, you will fail. The only way you will soar is when you yield to the Spirit of grace. He has all the power. That is why he does not employ, he empowers. And all he's wanting is just yield. I'm here. Just yield. Otherwise, you'll be tormented. You'll be burned by human beings. They'll burn you. I'm going to show you a scripture. You will see what I'm talking about. It says that you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace. You will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but you'll be soaring above it. There's no demand that will be placed upon your life except yield. Yield. The power of the Holy Spirit is present. Just yield. He's going to purge your mind, your thoughts, all the crap that is in there, because we all have it. Next verse, quickly. You will see something. Maybe it's not the right time to share. It says the cravings of the self-life are obvious. You know, sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography. You cannot say that I'm going to stop pornography. Listen to me. You either yield to the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit who chops you off. It's not you. Oh, I don't want to watch it. I don't know why I'm watching it, but I did it again. Of course. You're so mindful of you. And you don't want to pay any attention to who is present. Whose work it is to prepare you for the great things ahead of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. No human being can do it. Go on. Go on. Go on. And it says, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored. We all have it. Talk to a pastor. And as he's moving around, he's checking, oh, my church is not working like this. My church is not working like that. And, am I called? Am I not called? Anyway, I'll get another time to talk about that. Senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Go on, go down. This is how the flesh works. Everybody has it. It says being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for those things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? Next verse. And it says, but the fruit produced by who?
Holy Spirit.
It says it's not produced by your effort.
Uh-huh.
The fruit. Produced by the Holy Spirit. So you find out that the branch, the tree, the branch, the life of the tree flows through the branch. All the branch does is remain attached to the tree. The flow of the life through the branch causes the branch to bear the fruit. So you find out that it is the life of the tree that is causing the branch to bear the fruit. And so you look at the branch and you see the fruit and you are thinking that, man, the branch is wild. No. He did nothing. He just attached. He just remains attached. It doesn't pluck itself from there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because Jesus wants you to bear much fruit. You're going to see in a moment. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. In all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Listen, you don't get this by natural means. There is no amount of upbringing, training at home, school, where you are born, how strict your parents are. There's no parent who can instill such things in any human being. Nobody can do it. As a matter of fact, Bible says that when parents discipline their children, they do it for their sake, out of their frustration. I am tired. I can't stand this. I'm going to punish you for it. That's how every parent trains. You get what I'm saying? Do you know where it's coming from? Bible says that you had parents who disciplined you and you gave them praise, even though they did it according to their own benefit, because they are frustrated with your behavior and they cannot stand it. And so they will do it with them, they will deal with you. You know that this is not tolerated in my house. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's because of the frustrations of life are just too much. And so it comes out and you bear the brunt. But when God is disciplining you, it is correction unto good works. So he will not drive you into a car, cause your limb to be lost, take to the hospital and say that I did it so that I can come and teach you. If a parent does that, they'll take him to jail and say that child abuse. Unfortunately, that's how the Bible is preached. It's like God sent cancer to you so that he can. What kind of God is this that he gives? He just wants to just talk to you, get you, in by yourself. He gives you cancer. It's not God. It can't be God. Anyway, that was it, by the way. Yeah. It's a life full of virtue, faith that prevails. The devil does all those things. Yeah. Faith that prevails. God will teach you how to overcome them and triumph over them. Yeah. Faith that prevails because his chastisement or his discipline is by the word. That's why in that scripture, you say, shall we not be in subjection to the God of spirits? So when he's going to discipline you, he's going to discipline your spirit. How? By his word. He's not going to discipline you by crushing you, doing something, visiting, causing your husband to leave you or your wife to leave you so that you will learn Pepe. You see Pepe? No. That is not our God. And don't you ever tell somebody that God did it so that you, please, let's grow out of it. Let's grow out of that stupid thinking. It's the devil who does that. But you see, it says, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. These qualities, they are limitless. Why? Because it's by the Holy Spirit himself who brings it forth. Now, let's go to John. Give me John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look, let's start. John 15 from verse 1. I'll show you something. And then John 15, please, John 15 from chapter 1. John 15, look at it. He says, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine. My father is the farmer, the husbandman, the one who fixes everything in the farm. He's the one who does it. He's the one who fixes everything. If there is a need for an insecticide, who is going to bring it? The husbandman, the father. You see it?
Yeah.
Goodness verse. Then he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now that taken away is to bear up and nurture. Bear up and nurture, or lift up and prop up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That is why the son who left the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
The prodigal son. That is the clearest example of this scripture, what it means. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. As in, he if like, see it in the passion, you will see it. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Let's look at it in the passion, and then we'll come back. I want you to just get you ready for what is coming. It says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. And pruning. He prunes every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. You see it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's when the guy came back after being so useless as in squandering the house of the property of the father. It was the father who was always going there because he knew that when a branch cuts himself off from the vine,
not survive.
It will not be many days after. So the Bible says that not many days after he squandered. First of all, he took off and squandered he spent it on riotous living. That's how it is. That is the reason why you should look at a father who didn't take care of a child and see it. You should look at an abusive parent and see it. You shouldn't just talk by heart. Just talk anyhow. No. That's why no child is supposed to rise up and speak against a father or a mother. You don't know anything. You don't know squat. So God will tell you, honor him, honor her. Yeah, that's your duty. So that you will live on earth. It will be work on you because there is a seed sown. It is coming down. You're going to accuse. It is coming down. You will see. You taking sides, it will come down. You will see. You will see your children will rise up and your marriage, it will be the same thing because it's a seed. And what is traveling through it? My goodness. So a wife, a mother will tell your stupid father whose head was like, whatever. And then the child grows up. Oh my goodness. It's terrible. Anyway. He says he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Next verse. Look at it. It's so nice. Eh? It's so the words I've spoken over you have already cleansed you. You are clear. You are cleansed by the word. Let's go back to the King James. The King James. It says, the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. And it says, now listen to me. That word, can you go back to verse? What's that? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So that word that you see, the word, through the word, that word is logos. Logos, L-O-G-O-S. This is the written word. Every one of us, as we read the written word that Jesus spoke and which he spoke through the apostles, Peter, Paul, then James, and all that. As you read it, it cleanses you. It keeps purging you. It keeps removing all the deposits of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-ambition, the pride. Oh my goodness. The goals, the personal goals that are so selfish that you can't wait for God to just increase you. You will use it to show others. You need to let them know that you are anointed. That is God. You thought I would not be anything, but God has blessed me. You see, it is in us. We want God to make us something to spite. And the enemy loves it. And so we look at the scripture and we want that scripture to happen. Why? So that. But the words he speaks, it is meant to cleanse, to purge, to make us clean. It is purging. The result, look at verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. All he wants to say is that just remain attached to me. Remain attached to me. Don't depart. He said, but how can I depart? Every thought that occurs to you, that is why the word of God says that it is full of power when it comes. It separates, it distinguishes and tells you, is this thought coming from your spirit or is it coming from your soul? That's why it's called the dividing asunder of what? Spirit and
soul.
Exactly. That's what the word does. Anytime you read the word, it is meant to cause you so that how many of you have read a scripture, I've been preaching, and then say, oh my, this is me, man. How many of you see that it's kind of choking sometimes? It's not so nice, but it's washing you, it's changing the way you think.
Yeah,
it does that to me, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't even share it to you. How can I share something with you that the Holy Spirit is not telling me? Does that make sense? Yeah, because I need to be washed. That's why you didn't take an angel to come and tell you those things, because an angel cannot relate to what you and I are suffering from. Anyway, so say, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Just abide in me. Just abide in me. Next verse. Then it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. What do you have to do to bring forth much fruit? It's, you don't have to do anything. Just remain attached. Yes, let the word cleanse. Let the word do. Let the word do its job. I mean, it's set forth to distinguish you, cut through, set apart. It's so powerful enough to do its job. By telling you, the thought that occurred to you is not from your spirit. Just so you know, it's from your flesh, your self-life. It will lead you to death. Say, this thought is from the spirit of God. And you will know it. So anything that any person can do is to let the word. So a pastor uses the word for cleansing, to set you up. Because you're going to find out another word that is just for you. The Holy Spirit himself will reveal to you. That's what is called the Rhema. The Rhema is a spoken word. That's the one. How many of you can read the Bible and say, this scripture is telling me that this is the woman I should marry? How many of you can ever read that scripture? You never read it. It's never written anywhere. How many of you know that you know? Give my people, please. How many of you know that you need guidance when it comes to marriage? How many know that you need guidance when it comes to even profession and where to live? Mm-hmm. Where in the Bible is it written that Eric must live here? Eric is set forth to marry Ophelia. I've realized that I'm telling you, that's the Rhema. Only the Rhema can do that. But the Rhema can only come as you continually yield yourself to the cleansing power of the written word. Does that make sense? So go back to the scripture. I'll show you something. We're going to close very soon. Sorry for the time that we are spending, because it says, yeah, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Next verse, quickly. Then it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. It's what? Withered. And men gather them. The only way you can be gathered by men is that you are withering. Your attachment to the vine. It's questionable. So you are withering. You are withering. The next thing is that men will gather you. What does it mean? What does it mean men will gather you? You will come under the influence of anything that men will do against you. You'll be so tormented and so frustrated. Look at the scripture. It says, and cast them. Cast them into the fire. Who will cast you into the fire? Men. And every man. That's what man does. Mm-hmm. You will find out. You see, when the guy took off, spent his wealth on righteous living, he attached himself to a citizen of the land. That guy sent him to feed the pigs. You will think that if you have sent someone to feed your pigs, you will feed him, right?
Yeah.
The guy wanted to even share the pig's food. Something that no Jewish person. Now, you must understand the setting. Jewish and pigs, please. Mm. Nope. It's like a pig is the devil himself. So to come to the place where you are serving pigs and wanting to eat their food is the low of the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what will happen to you, so that you will never find your fulfillment in a work. Why? The problem is not what the man is doing to you. The problem is that you are withering. And the reason is because your attachment to the vine is questionable. Does that make sense? So you find out anything that a person does. So anytime anybody says something and it affects you, just don't be so mad at the person. Say, why is it affecting like that? Why is it tormenting? It's because your attachment to the vine. You must go back and check it. So how do you do that? Go back to the word. And it's in every area of our lives. Look for the scriptures. Begin to meditate. Let it begin to cleanse you. Let it begin to cleanse you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, guys. Do you want to hear something?
Yes.
You see, when I married them, I've never told my wife. I don't know if I should even say it now. After we've had our children growing up, I think somewhere up to about, because when we move into this house, somewhere in the next 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, there constantly I was getting this thought. You know what that thought was?
No.
Because anytime my wife couldn't see what I am saying and takes it on a different tangent, I will enter into a time and I'm like, oh God, I wish I didn't owe on this house. I wish I didn't owe anything on this house. I would, because I want to make sure that I could just leave the house paid for so that she can have the house. I have the children, have everything in the house. All I need is just my bag and I'll go. So that I will just go and search for you and seek you to find you. Hey, this thought, it came to me. Now, please, it's like I'm going to marry somebody else. Please, 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 please. I mean, I that would never cross my mind. But the idea that, look, I just want to know God. But I want to make sure that at least the person that I married and have therefore brought these children, lovely children, to this world, are taken care of. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I realize that. But this house, you have not finished paying for it. How can you live? Because I was having all this. You guys don't know. You don't know. You see, you don't know. You don't know. Because my mind was, if I can set them up so they can be good. They have a home. They have things that they have, what, 401k? They have at least something to just live on. They have an insurance. If I die, insurance is there. It will care to me. It will care to me. It will care to me. Oh God, I want to be free. Oh God, I'm supposed to just find you somewhere. Hey, I tell you, but God, the word has begin to wash me. Now, it sounds like it's a good thing. You want to just pursue God, even if it's a small place somewhere, all you have is this. Go. Something, but it's not a good thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So the word has to wash you. And it's in every area of your life. It has to wash you, cleanse you, purge you, and set you up for what God has purposed. Why? Why? Because if you are not cleansed, you will find out that you will look at the promise of God, and you are looking for what you call good at the end of the branch, the fruit. It is what you call good that you want God to make you into that. Not what God, because it is God who said that you should be born in this country, that country, to this parents, for this purpose, accomplish this. But we look at everything that we call good and we want God to make it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
With complete disregard for what he is wanting to bring forth. And this is where the frustration goes. I mean, comes from. But if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth the branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Look at next verse. Look at it. We're going to close very soon. We're closing very soon. If ye abide in me and my words, this is the rhema. This is the rhema. And my words abide in you. You have been so cleansed that as you are thinking, it is what I am wanting that you are thinking. Now speak it, and it shall be. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Why? It's now the purposes, the will, my direction that you are now, what do we call it? In communion, in collaboration with me. Now release it. Now speak it. It has to be done. Why? It is what which I thought of you, purposed for you even before you were born. You have entered into my will. And whatever you say in this era, in this place called my will, whatever you say must be done. Because you are speaking my will. Shakataraba. That is why you can look at a scripture, a promise, and you can say it, nothing happens. Why? Some of you have realized that. Yeah. You shall ask what you will. So we all need to go through the process of just reading the scripture for cleansing. For cleansing. It says, I am this, then I am it. Oh, I was going to say this, but I realized that I can't say it. Oh, forgive and shall be forgiven. Because somebody does something, chokes you, turns the thing, it's in your stomach, turns it, it pains you more. You are about to just release it. Forgive. I'm forgiving. Okay. Okay, Lord. It's okay. Hey, how can I bless you? How can I bless you, Ochia? You want to not bless the person. Why? Not for his sake, but for you. You don't forgive for the person. You forgive for your sake. Hey. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. Go to verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. I am the one who chose you. Because I chose you, I'm the one who is preparing and setting you up for the much fruit and the greatness which I purpose, even before you were born. That is why your salvation, your becoming a child of God was on me. Your righteousness was on me. Why? Because I chose you. See, that is why even when you sin, it doesn't affect your relationship with the Father. Neither does it affect your righteousness, because your relationship and your righteousness, they don't come by you. You did nothing for them. You don't do nothing to keep them. But what it does is the fellowship. Fellowship is the communion, the allowing the Holy Spirit to take you on the same direction and purpose of Jesus. That's the fellowship. That is what is broken, is disturbed. How many of you, you have, go back, go, give me, oh, wait, don't go there. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Give me the people, please. I'm closing right now. How many of you have children? Children, they have done some things sometimes, and that has really, really, really upset. I mean, it was so terrible. You were so mad with them. How many of you have experienced it before? How many of you, you wanted to just smack him on the side of his head so that you would learn some sense?
Hey.
Angie didn't raise his hand. Angie's children, they don't do that. We all have it. But you know, it did not change the fact that they are still your children, your child. And I'm going to remind you that you are still my child. But the fellowship is not as sweet. True or false? Exactly. So the relationship as a child is not changed. The position, which is called righteousness, the position is what allows him to access everything. He enters into your room without knocking. Why? It's a child. He has access to your account, your money, everything, the car, everything. Why? It's a child. So the relationship as a child of God, and your position, which is called the righteousness, where you are, because you are a child, you have rights and access and privileges. They don't change because you've committed an error. You have done this. No. But fellowship. That is why when the son came back, put the rope upon him to knock off that loss of the sense of his righteousness, that robe of righteousness, put it on. Put a signet ring, so that he knows that because he's the son and because he has his righteousness is still in place, he now has the authority to speak as the Father's son, and then put on shoes on his feet. Why? Because in those times, only slave, no servant wore a shoe. Only sons wore shoes. So he's saying that you're not coming to serve me to enter into sonship. Don't you dare think that I'm going to serve God so that I'll become a son of God. No. He makes you a son. So that now service becomes a motivation of doing what he wants. Not I'm serving Israel, I can become blessed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because by your position of sonship and righteousness, you have access and blessings that you ever need. Anyway, so now you're going to preach. Now you're going to teach. So now when you preach, it's coming from the deposits of his life inside you. And when you speak, you will find out the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. Why? Because you are speaking from a person who has been cleansed and washed by just all you do is allow God to just do the cleansing. Does that make sense? To purge you of all the selfish interest and all the things that So you see somebody, you meet somebody, you say, if you confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in your heart, you shall be saved. It happens. You see somebody who is under a bondage, be released in Jesus' name. Why? A son is speaking the words of the Father. Holy Spirit says, I'm bringing it to pass. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Now you can preach. Finally, I'll share a scripture, then we go. Oh, are you guys blessed with God's word today? Is it too much? Yeah. Yeah. I want to share one scripture with you and then we close. There's this scripture which it's so powerful. James 5 verse 20. Look at James 5 verse 20. James 5 verse 20. Wow. Wow. How many of you are beginning to see and understand the vine life relationship in a different way? How many of you are beginning to see that John 15 in a different way? Yeah. Yeah. I didn't used to understand it like that at all. It says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Wow. Wow. You shall hide a multitude of sins. All that you did was that you have converted the sinner from the error of his way. Now you have saved his soul from death. Now you have caused a multitude of sins to be hidden. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one time Jesus told the people that, let's go. We'll have to go to that other place. Why? Because this is why I have come. This is why I have come. Yeah. 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 This is why I have come. This is why I have come, to teach and to preach the way of the Father. So Jesus brought us the way of the Father, and all that we do is to reveal the way of the Son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm about to tell you, we are blessed. We are blessed. Okay. Let's get ready. We're gonna break bread and we're gonna drink the blood. Now I need you to pay attention. I need you to begin to have. Yeah. I need you to. Oh, how many of you have really enjoyed God's word today? How many of you feel encouraged that there is something that God is wanting to bring forth? It has nothing to do with any error of yours, because he knows what he has saved. He knows what he paid for. He knows where he dug all of us out from. It was from hell. That's why Jesus was born again in hell. The firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from those who were dead. You know, at first, if I would hear such a thing, I would think it was sacrilegious, that I was blaspheming, that Jesus was born. How dare you say Jesus was born again from hell? Of course, I'm not saying it. Bible said that he was the first to be born from the dead. Those who were dead, where do you keep the dead? Hell. That was where we were. We were in bondage. That he came, paid the price, got born again in hell. All of us were born again and raised together with him. How could we have been raised together with him if he didn't come to where we were? Hallelujah. Amen. And so as you take the body, lift up the body with me. Please, I want you to have great respect. For the Bible says that this is the body that came from heaven, that a man should eat, that when a man eats it, he shall not die. He shall not come under the power of death, the power and the dominion of the devil, the one who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, the one who visits you with sickness and disease, the one who alters the operation and the workings of your body and renders it so terrible that you are willing to die than to live. there's a devil who does that. But the body was broken that you will be a vessel released, set free from every hold, every bondage, that now you are a vessel prepared for the outpour of God's life. So lift up the body with me and begin to just think and declare that this is the body of Jesus Christ broken for me. Say with me, this is the body of Jesus.
This is the body of Jesus.
Broken for me.
Broken for me.
As I eat this body.
As I eat this body.
It is full payment.
It is full payment.
For anything that the enemy could visit on me.
For anything that the enemy could visit.
My body.
My body.
As a vessel.
As a vessel.
It's sanctified.
It's sanctified.
And the proof.
And the proof.
It's the body I am eating right now.
It's the body I'm eating right now.
So nerves. Begin to function.
Begin to function, yes.
All the organs, my lungs, my kidney, my begin to function.
All the organs in my body begin to function.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Just eat the body. Now, lift up the blood with me. And say with me, this is the blood of Jesus.
This is the blood of Jesus.
That has completely purged me.
That has completely purged me.
And cleansed me.
Cleansed me.
And keeps cleansing me.
He keeps cleansing.
And has brought me into a covenant relationship with my Father. Because of this blood.
Also, no.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
And my position as a child.
And my position as a child.
It's called righteousness.
God righteousness.
And because of this blood.
Because of this blood.
Every blessing.
Every blessing.
Every wealth.
Every wealth.
Every gift.
Every gift.
Required for me to fulfill my destiny.
Required of me to fulfill
my destiny.
It's provided.
It's provided.
And it's secure.
Secure.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Blood of Jesus.
Please drink the blood. Lift up your hands. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the authority of the broken body and the blood of Jesus, I command every demonic oppression upon your sons and daughters to cease in Jesus' name. I command it to end. Any bondage, any hold, any frustration, any torment that is upon the sons and daughters, I command it to cease in Jesus' name. I bind you, devils and demons. Oppressive spirits, I bind your activity. Now lose the peace of God upon the sons and daughters. Let them be free to go forth and bear fruit. Let their blood go to wash, go to work, and perfect its intention in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the fruit bearing. Thank you for the peace, the joy, the strength, the life that is gushing forth because of what the Son has done. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Well.